Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I'm just back from Pennsylvania. I was at the Pendel Conference, and 3,400 women gathered together. The air was electric. Women raised their hands to follow Jesus for the first time. One woman who was suffering some of the effects of a stroke was healed miraculously during the worship time. And, you know, if you watch too much of the news, the bad news, you're going to forget about the good news. But the potency of the gospel and the good news is much greater, much stronger than what you hear in the bad news. So, you know, I encourage you and challenge you to put yourself in the path of the places where God is working, because, you know, you're going to see that He is indeed working, that He loves mankind, and He's working through us as we put ourselves at His service. So I just wanted to say that. I miss you when I'm gone. Excited to be back. And this is what we're talking about today. God cares very much about our beginnings and our endings. And that's why the enemy of our soul goes to such great lengths to disrupt our beginnings and to disrupt our endings. You're going to hear me talk about this several times in different ways before this year is up. My friend, author and fitness professional, Elisa Keaton, joins me again today. We're going to draw from her book, The Body Revelation, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. And I always say this when I talk about Elisa, and I'm only saying this to give context that when I reference my time in the fitness industry, but I worked for 10, 12 years, and I traveled the country. I trained and certified instructors. I was certified with the American Council on Exercise. I managed a couple group fitness departments. So I wasn't just dabbling. I was really into it. So I say this as a former fitness professional. I don't know anybody like Elisa who's a fitness professional, but she's so much more than that. She's all about the whole soul, the mind, body, spirit, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And her book, The Body Revelation, I endorsed it. It's so well-researched. It's so healing. It's so equipping. Hardcover book, best-selling book. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. If you need a fresh start, if you not only want to know how to get healthy, but you want to be healed and you want to walk in greater measures of healing and wholeness and maturity, text the word book to 877-933-2484. And let me know you're out there because I missed you. I've been gone. Quick announcement now. Does that sound needy? I didn't mean it to, but I'd love to hear from you. Quick announcement. Our one-day end-of-year fundraiser is coming up in a couple weeks. And speaking of healthy endings, would you help us finish the year strong? Perhaps you already showed up at our fall fundraiser. If you did, we thank you. Would you pray for us? But if you listen and you benefit, but you've never given, would you prayerfully consider making a one-time end-of-year gift? We would love that so much. You can give at any time, safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com. But if you would also pray for us, because whenever we step into these fundraising moments, the enemy also steps up. So we would love your prayers. Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Elisa Keaton's a leading certified wellness professional with more than 20 years of experience. She's a wholehearted pursuer of God's love, is dedicated to educating and inspiring people to live healthy and whole lives in Christ. In 2011, Elisa launched Revelation Wellness. It's a nonprofit ministry that uses fitness as a tool to spread the gospel message and invites participants to become their whole selves. Love that. Designed by God, she's passionate about leading others to take an in-depth look at what it means to be transformed by God's love from the inside out. And if that doesn't sum up what this book is about, nothing else does. Elisa, welcome back to the show.
Suzy, I am so excited to be here. Thanks for letting me.
I'm just really revved up for this conversation. I feel like it's so important that, you know, you and I prayed before the show started, and I'm really praying people are going to lean in and listen with their whole heart. So before we dig into the topic of finishing strong and healing from the inside out, I just want to know, what has God been impressing upon your heart these days?
It's so fascinating that you would ask this question, because I didn't know what we were going to talk about today. We just had, you know, back and forth a little bit a couple days ago, but the verse that's been hanging over me and I've been chewing on is from chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, Paul saying, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by the means of the flesh? And as we're talking about ending, like finishing well, as we're coming into the end of the year, and we know this is a time of year where sometimes we can put our body on a shelf and say, well, we'll get back to that later. It's a time of celebration. I'm just going to, you know, enjoy the holidays. And we can often make that a spiritual thing as Christians, saying we're all in, we're going to celebrate and be present to the holidays. But God starts something by his Spirit. In the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the formless void earth and spoke and created us. And so it is a work of the Spirit that we are here. And of course, Paul's addressing the church at Galatia, that they are turning away from a gospel that Paul had preached, from the revelation of Jesus that Paul had received himself, preached that gospel, while they're accusing Paul of preaching a gospel that's for to make men happy, because they were getting some liberties, that they were moving away from the law. They're saved by faith. But Paul is still saying the Spirit is doing something. Why are you turning back to old ways of the flesh, which was the things of the law that they knew in that time? And I think that happens to us all the time. We start, God pursues us. His Spirit is always hovering. His Spirit is always pursuing. His Spirit wants to help us to walk in wholeness, to understand the Word of God, not just for our heads, but for our souls, our hearts, and our bodies too. Wow. But when we start, it's hard to continue because our flesh just likes to get up in there and say, well, I've had a good 9-month run. Now's my time to just kick back, or whatever it is, how quick we are to make permission for the flesh. So that's what I've been meditating on, because we can do that in all kinds of tricky ways. We can even call stewardship diet culture. It can turn into diet culture if we're not careful. And so that's really what I'm pressing into.
I'm really blown away that, you know, because I've been traveling, so we had a couple basic ideas, but you had no idea where I landed, what I want to talk about today. And yet you come up with a verse that talks about how we start and how we finish. And, you know, think about, imagine, friends, we start, anything we do is by the breath of God. I mean, that's what, anything that we do that's lasting. But how often Christians finish the year in the flesh, just like people who don't profess Christ or have the resurrected power of Christ in them, finishing in the flesh. And, you know, again, I'm going to be talking about this in different ways in the upcoming weeks as we come up to the end of the year. But what might it look like to finish in the flesh? That could flesh out truly in multiple different ways. But give me your thoughts, Elisa.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if you are putting it over on a shelf, if you're trying to box it apart and like say, well, I'll get to my body in the new year, we just do that. We will tend to think, now's my time to celebrate. Now's my time to be present. And it is. But remember, it's about the coming of Christ, that he prepare him room, prepare the way. This is our rhythmic calendar, or the year of the calendar, to have a rhythm to say, I'm now going to prepare my heart, for Jesus is coming. This is the gift of all gifts. And that means our spirit is coming alive. Our spirit is more in tune with the holidays. Why do we call it Christmas spirit? There's something about it, the beauty, the celebration, the lights. It's a wonderful time of the year, but we often turn it into a commercialized time of the year.
Yeah.
And we get lost in the ways that the world has taken this time of year captive. And we forget the quiet place, the solitude place, the seeking, the reverence and the joy of a king that has come, instead of turning towards the things of the flesh.
So good. Which brings another way, another pathway of the flesh. If you're finishing in the flesh, I mean, I love that verse for what we're talking about today, because God's not asking your friend to do something apart from him. No, he wants you to do it in the strength of the Spirit. But another way to finish in the flesh is to be all about presentation. And again, we're going to be diving into my book, Prepare Him Room, on Fridays in December. So we'll be talking about some of this as well. But when you get into the pride and presentation, to overcommitting, you know, committing to more than you can, your time allows, or even your mental bandwidth allows, eating more than your body needs, spending more than your budget allows, all of those things, they seem like I'm treating myself, but it's taking a bait, Alyssa, because when we think of when you're numbing on things like that, you're not getting a revelatory vision for your life. And that's why the enemy is trying to preempt your ending so he can disrupt your beginning. But what if you were clear-headed? What if you practiced some restraint and decided to make some choices even now to go, you know, I might have made New Year's resolutions in the beginning of the year and have done nothing with them. I'm starting now. What if you did that and gave God so much space that he could say, this is what I want to talk to you about this last year. And these are some of the things I want to give you vision for in the next year. Elisa, love your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I would say to that, I feel like the thing that we're lacking right now and just the point that God has me on is to really push people or direct people in this direction of practicing his presence. You know, Brother Lawrence wrote that book, Practicing the Presence, that God is in our body. He's a God who says, I want to not just be around you, I want to be in you. So our bodies are housing the living God. So what would it look like in this season as we get closer to the actual coming, celebrating the gift that's been given to us, a savior unto us is born, that we have been redeemed from the pit. We have been drawn out of deep waters. God, he's so beautiful and wonderful. What would it look like now to start practicing a presence with God, being present to him? I am firmly convinced that you can't sit down to a feast, a wonderful meal, and be present with God, give thanks to him from the deepest part of who you are, to give thanks to him for what is there, the beauty, the celebration, the lights, the people that are with you, your family. If you really enter his gates with those types of thanksgiving, then the presence of God will be in you. I don't think it's possible to overeat, to hurt yourself or harm yourself with food or harm another when the presence of God is the point, that is what you are housing. And that's why I wrote the book, The Body Revelation, is about that, that your body is here to reveal heaven. And you can only do that as the presence of God is filling and taking up more space. So where there's woundedness and trauma and lies and things you've believed that have not only just affected your soul, but your biology too, as those things get healed in the presence of God, in his word, going out and walking and talking with him, like actually doing this, friends, there's practices to the presence that as he gets more of you, because really we get all of God, the Holy Spirit, we don't get a little bit of the Holy Spirit. He wants to give it. We get all of him, but we hold back. There's parts that we hold from God. And as we prepare him room, I love it. That is your book. As we prepare more room, God, you get more space, more space. I don't think it's possible to sit down and hurt yourself with food.
Wow. First of all, it's been a long time since I've asked for an amen. So somebody got to give me an amen. But I also want to know, really, truly though, who needed to hear this? Maybe just give me a text and let me know. Did you need to hear this? And are you all in when it comes to approaching these next weeks in a sacred way? Because you house the Holy Spirit, the presence of the living God. And he has things he wants to say to you about this past year, lessons he wants you to take with you into the next year, revelations he wants to bring you into the coming year. When we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, so often we look forward to holidays because our soul needs a celebration. You know what? The church doesn't do enough celebrating. So that's so good, as Elisa was saying. But it sometimes, as she also said, we then use it as an excuse to numb out so we don't have to feel the stuff that we've been stuffing. Our busyness has pushed to the basement the whole year long. Is there a better way to live out these next weeks to the point where we could literally walk into the next year going, I am so glad I had the presence of mind to practice the presence of God? We're going to talk about physical exercise, forming new neural pathways in your brain with renewing your mind. We're going to talk about emotional health and stability, about physical strength work. What does that do to your brain? What does that do to your body? Why is tension important? We'll talk about all those things in just a moment.
The Bible is valuable, and reading and studying the Bible can transform your life. Hi, I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together podcast. Several times a year, we release a new Reading the Bible Together study. We've studied Luke, Daniel, Advent, Lent, and so many more. You can access all of our studies for free by going to the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com. In addition to the studies, we also have the accompanying podcast. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can study on your own, or if your small group or Bible study is looking for what to study next, check out the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Elisa Keaton. She is founder of The Wellness Revelation. Her book is The Body Revelation, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. And this is a $25 book. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Ask her to come on today to talk about how to finish the year strong. And we are talking mainly about practicing the presence of God. And yet our tendency from here on in to the end of the year is, as we were saying before the break, Elisa, we look forward to holidays because our soul needs celebration. I mean, it's not only is there nothing wrong with it, it's actually healthy to take a break from the daily grind, gather with loved ones, buy gifts for people that you love, be thoughtful mm-hmm. about those who have less than you. Our souls need all of that. But so often we just trade addictions, so to speak. We go from busyness to indulgence to the point where we're trying hard not to feel things. So I would love for you to speak a little bit about just a little more about that tendency, and then we're going to just take it down to the nitty-gritty and how we can walk this out.
Yeah, well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that if we've gone through the year just staying busy, you talked about the basement of busyness. In my book, I talk about the busy brain. We are anxious and worried about many things. Here's the thing. If you have been practicing the presence, inviting the Lord into your health and your wholeness, which really everyone, I just really want to say, we have to get a new definition of fitness and body. You've been handed a bad bill of goods when we think about I have to be X amount of body fat and I need to have this amount of look or appeal to the world. It isn't about that. Our bodies are not about vanity, what they look like. It's about ability. What can they do? So if you've been going through the year walking with the Lord in ability, listening to what he has to say, going and doing whatever it is to do, that's what your body is for, so that God can put you on like a glove and go out and do that. And so if you've been doing that, I doubt maybe the next 3 weeks or how many weeks we have to the end of the year, you're going to probably stay the course because you have now developed some patterns. But if you haven't, it doesn't mean, as Susie said, wait till the new year. Why not practice some small things now? And that really takes foresight. What I would encourage someone to do is to sit down, which again, just sitting down, we're so busy and anxious and worried about many things. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and worried about what the house is going to look like and if the tree has all the decorations. Like, that's the stuff that we have to repent and just get off the merry-go-round for a second and sit down and make a plan of what, with the Holy Spirit, ask, what would you desire for this season of Christmas to look like and Thanksgiving? What would you desire, right? Our God is a desiring God. You are here with breath in your lungs because he desired to have you. I talk about that in the Body Revelation. It's the first thing we have to recognize, that we love and serve a desiring God, and he gives us desires, the ability to desire. And whatever we choose, he will not, he allows us that free will of choice. He's not going to override it. But if we sit down to think, what would I desire this holiday season to look like in the presence of God? I take a quiet moment and you begin to write that down, write it down. I just can't imagine someone would write down, I want to gain 10 pounds and feel miserable by January 1st. Yeah. Nobody wants that. Nobody right. wants that, but we drift into it because we're not intentional. We're not present to the intentionality of God. He is a God who has plans and purposes for our life, and it doesn't matter. So what if you've messed it up 42 years previously? Today is a day where you can say, God, my appetites, what I desire, what I'm treasuring is where my heart is. And I've been making it about many other things but you, my body, my money. I've been making about many other things than you. I want to sit down and I want to know, God, what would it look like for this season to be about me being present to you and getting a holiday and a Christmas time like I've never had before. Susie, amen. Susie, have you been to a sermon lately? Listen, I love our pastors. I love our pulpit, our teaching of the word, but often we don't sit down and go, okay, you just heard that word. What does it mean for your life? How am I going to live this out today? And I think if we sat down for a second and said, okay, the word of God is true. God did not give me a spirit of fear, anxious and worried about many things, but power, love, and a sound mind. He wants you to hit January 1st with a power, love, and sound mind in January 1st, not wait till January 1st to get your power, love, and sound mind. He wants to give that to you today. But wow. You sit down and power, love, and sound mind and make a sound vision board. Make a vision for it. And don't think about scoring yourself on a scorecard, because that's where people go wrong, because the minute they don't get one of the things right, they throw it all away. No, God takes our little and makes much. If you can make one right decision, if you decided, you know, this holiday, I'm not going to think about the things that I don't have. I'm not going to be bitter about, even though so-and-so relationship gets under my skin and I want to drink or I want to eat, I'm going to stand back and I'm going to hold my ground, hold peace, and be more curious and less judgmental about situations. Because really, our relationship to our body has most to do with our relationship with God and others.
Wow. Our relationship with our body has most to do with our relationship with God and others. And Melissa said, I'm going to put this statement on my cabinet, quote, I'm so glad I had the presence of mind to have his presence in mind. That's something Elisa said before the break. Good. And then our producer, Angie, says, I keep thinking about how much farther we could be January 1st if we started to make changes today versus waiting until January 1st. So let's talk about that. That's brilliant, Angie. How littlest bit makes a big difference. I mean, the littlest tweaks. I mean, you might want to say, you know, we can talk strength work here in just a moment, or walking a few times a week, going to the mall, walking through the mall if it gets cold out, fasting from negative thinking. Just the littlest things can make such a big difference. So talk about that from a physiological standpoint. If someone who just does that, has God's presence in mind and with a vision for how to end and how to begin, they just are not going to be subject to all their fleshly whims. They're going to finish by the Spirit, not by the flesh. What would some little practical steps be for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, first of all, can we all just remember that in the kingdom, down is up and small is big. Everything is so reversed in the kingdom, which is why the diet and fitness culture really has not served us, because it's been about faster, bigger, better, make the most efficiency. Like that's why immediately when someone misses the first goal, they throw it all away, because the goal was always too much. It is always kindness and compassion. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Repentance means a new way. I'm going to go a new direction. When I repent, I'm going the way of the kingdom. And it's the kindness of God that leads us there. And little things are kind things. The world will always push you to go faster, get more, you're slow, you're old, it will always condemn you. The accuser of the brethren, the world and our flesh, is hard on us. But God is kind. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's an easy and light yoke. Take that one upon you. So little things are a big deal to God, and you have to keep your mindset on that. And there's actually tons of research out there about the sustainability of small things. There's a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's a New York Times bestseller, where he talks about just little things. People, the science is in that if you just do one little thing, day after day after day, it compounds and it naturally grows. It's like a seed. A seed is a tiny little thing that goes in the ground. And as you continue to water it and care for that one seed, it will grow. So for example, let's say you decide that during this holiday season, you're not going to, maybe in the past, that's where you have to know your own tendencies. Is it that you tend to maybe drink too much or have too much sugar? It's just too much. Maybe you're going to tell yourself, God, first go to the Lord and ask him, what would that look like for me to have a different holiday season where it's enough for me. Or maybe he's telling you to even fast it. I'm not sure, but he'll tell you what is the little offering that you can give him. Maybe just that small thing that you can do, whether it's I'm only going to have, you know, I'll have a drink at a party, or maybe I'm not going to drink and I'll have just enough of the sweetness of whatever I'm going to have to enjoy it. Be present to it. Take time to taste it. The other thing, sometimes during this time of year, you eat things you don't even really like. Doesn't even taste that great because there's like, you know, store-bought cookies, things kind of everywhere, and you just eat it. Maybe you're going to tell the Lord, you know, the things that I'm going to indulge in, the things I'm going to have that are holiday festivity connected, I'm going to really be present to them. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to taste them. I'm going to enjoy them. Because often we don't. We're just caught up in the anxiety of the moment or the stress of the family or whatever else is going on, and we lose ourselves. And if that one little thing is all you do, it can make a change.
I was going to say, don't you feel like when you practice restraint, when you do actually get to have something, it tastes so much better? It's like when you practice restraint and spending and you save up and then you buy something versus charging it. You enjoy it so much more when, like, you know, a lot of times I like to approach the holidays where I will fast party foods or sweets during the week and have fun on the weekends. And just, it's such a treat to me. But, you know, you don't make a law or a rule about it, but you just ask God, as Elisa was saying, going, because when you practice restraint, when you make the little changes under the power of the Holy Spirit, there's life in it. Scripture says the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And I think what people are after is a false sense of life and peace by the numbing indulgences of the quick fix of drinking, of buying, of whatever. But if we could go, I want life and peace. I really want that. You know, Lord, lead me on the path of life and peace. You'll find that the Holy Spirit is so kind, as you said. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about getting kind of down to the nitty gritty here. Strength, like what happens in our brain when we do strength work, and what are some maybe very doable plans that we could maybe practice between now and the end of the year? If you've maybe never done strength work before, why do it now? It's incredibly important. Sometimes people may focus all on cardio and wonder why their body's not changing. So many changes happen when you do strength, and that's really what often protects you from injury and all kinds of things. It affects your metabolism, hormones, all kinds of things. Not to say cardio is not great. It is. But strength really does matter. So we'll talk about that and more with Elisa Keaton, author of the book, The Body Revelation: Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. Phenomenal book. I was so happy to endorse it. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a wonderful conversation with my friend Elisa Keaton. She's a fitness professional, best-selling author, an amazing woman of God, and her book, The Body Revelation, is fantastic. Subtitle, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. And she and I are talking about finishing well, starting well. The enemy loves to disrupt good starts and preempt strong finishes, because beginnings and endings matter so much to God. We're talking about how we start here, no matter what you've been doing up to this point, that we start here and get a vision for how we want to finish this year, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And if you've got questions, go on and text them in. This dear friend says, Revelation Wellness's 21 Days of Walking Prayer on the app is so good. It's a great way to start. Great guided 20 to 25 minutes of walking. Well, I didn't know about that. Tell me about that, Elisa.
I love that. Thanks, whoever sent that in. Yeah, walking. I know I want to talk about strength training too as well, because just getting your heart rate up a little bit, getting some blood flow going in the body. And often we tend to think of moving our body or going for a workout has to be hard, has to be intense. It really doesn't. We love walking, doing walking prayers. Walking, if you're so blessed with two legs at work, is a blessing. And walking is something that we have been created to do. Jesus walked. It's common. Commentators say that he could have walked anywhere from 10 to 20 miles a day just going about his daily ministry. So we were meant to move. We were meant to get out into the world, and we do that through walking. So we've created quite a few programs. We actually have something very exciting coming. So if you're a listener and you thought, you know, maybe can I walk and also grow in connection with the Lord and have a goal, we have something coming this year. But yeah, we have a couple of praying programs where you walk, you hear the word of God, and you just walk and pray. And that's your cardiovascular training right there. And it's so wonderful and beneficial.
And is that on the app, you said?
It's on the app. We also have it over at revelationwellness.org under all our programs.
Yeah. Great. Okay. All right. I want to talk strength for a moment, because I read an article a while back that even the action of strength training actually blazes new neural pathways in our brain that our brain recognizes as resilience. So people who tend towards strength training tend to be more resilient in how they show up in life. Like they're training their brain to operate in tension and to think about it as a healthy thing versus looking at every bit of opposition and tension as a negative thing. Because it's amazing. I always say it's our trials aren't what exhaust us. It's the story we tell ourselves about those trials. Amen. So I'm super fascinated by the benefits of any kind of strength training, but even the physiology of what happens in our brain. So speak to that if you would.
Yeah, let's talk about that. It's so cool. Like I said, initially, there's been a lot of research done about how the brain can change with increased blood flow. So moderate intensity exercise, like going for a walk or cardiovascular activity, getting your heart rate up, showed they found that a lot of research and benefits there initially, but now we're seeing more and more research coming out of the cognitive and brain effects of strength training. I think one of the beautiful things about it is the fact that because you are lifting up something heavy, you're grabbing something heavy. There's something that your body has. It's called embodied cognition, that your brain, what you do with your body, how you posture it and what you do with it is talking to your brain. It's sending messages about resilience and strength that you wouldn't have otherwise if you just, you know, avoid putting your body under tension. You mentioned American Council on Exercise that you were certified through. They recently just wrote an article about the benefits of strength training. And one of the things they open the article with is they call the skeletal muscle, the muscle on your body and that is over your bones, that's considered the organ of longevity, which I love that, the organ of longevity, which makes sense because your muscle, think about it, your bones are like a puppeteer, like you just kind of have bones, but when just kind of sagging down if you just have bones, but when you put muscle on bones and they're strong, then the you can think of the puppet gets upright. And we were made to walk upright. It says that in Ecclesiastes, God made us upright, but we have gone after crooked schemes. So our body is meant to have form and function with good posture. And so when our muscles get that strength training under tension, then we can fight some of not only the pain that we have from dysfunction of living in a world where we're under gravity and tension, but benefits from strength training are things such as improved blood flow. It can reduce inflammation in your tissue. So if you're someone who feels achy a lot of the time, and you think, oh, the last thing I want to do is lift weights and be sore. It actually, as long as you don't overdo it, which is, again, get away from diet culture, like you have to bigger, better, faster, stronger. No, just grab some weight. And for some people, it's just start with your own body weight, doing some squats, doing some lunges, putting yourself under the tension of moving slowly. That can help reduce inflammation and increase BDNF, which is the miracle grow of your brain-derived neurotrophic factor. It's this protein that happens when we exercise. It was definitely noticed in cardiovascular activity. For years now, we've known that BDNF happens, but now more, they're seeing it also with strength training. BDNF starts to come out your brains. This protein gets connected into your neurology of your brain, and it grows your brain. It grows the hippocampus, the place responsible for memory and learning. It grows and brings the prefrontal medial cortex, the place of reasoning and high function, begins to come online. If you've suffered trouble, trauma, adversity, there's parts of your brain that can kind of get blacked out and not connecting. But when you go for walks and strength train, I love both. I think if you're going to do anything, listener, you want to get going, get walking just a couple times, three times a week. Get our get the a prayer and walking thing that we have at Revelation Wellness, or just go for a walk. Don't make it hard. And then a couple times a week, 20 minutes a day, put your body under some strength challenge routine. And we actually do have a program at Revelation Wellness called Get Strong. And it's for people who are just like, I'm at home. I need to learn how to challenge my body properly, appropriately, without overstrenuous and taking off more than you can chew, and doing it, progressing it well. And so that would be, it's such a win-win. And not to mention, we didn't even talk about the fact that all physical activity, the mental health experts are starting to stack hands and agree. One bout of exercise, just moving your body, going for a walk, or put your body under some strong moves and telling yourself that you are a person who can overcome adversity and let all those chemicals, those hope molecules, release out your body. It has the same benefit as taking a anxiety medication. You either take the medication, the pill, or go for a walk or move your body, and you can get the exact same benefits.
And so much better for you. Without the side effects,
That's what God made it for.
So even if you just started there, you know, walking is so wonderful. Get some good shoes and get a friend and just start walking, and you'll be amazed what that does for your mood. I mean, the hormones, the feel-good hormones it releases. And then check out Elisa's program. I use an iFit program that's connected to my bike like a Peloton, but mine's an iFit bike. But I flip that screen around, and I do strength classes all the time. And I think if you don't understand body form, you really do need an instructor or some kind of guidance so that you don't hurt yourself. You'll be amazed at how much better you feel. Your shoulders will be back. You'll be injured less often, because don't you feel like even that, Elisa, most people get injured. They're reaching for something quickly. They don't have core strength. And it's those sudden movements where all of a sudden they blow a disc or something because they have no inner strength to be able to support such a sudden movement.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as we age, we know our proprioceptors, which are this part of our body, it helps us tell us where we are in space in our neurology. That starts to dumb down as we get older, but not if we move, not if we actually challenge ourselves in some of these postures under tension, under strength. We can reap the benefits for years to come.
You know, scripture talks about, well, he, you know, chooses the weak to shame the wise, you know, I mean, the fool to shame the wise, the weak to shame the strong. Like, he meets us in our weakness. And what he, you know, means there is in those places where we are vulnerable and in those low places of our story that we're still waiting for God to redeem. But it also says it pleases him to make us strong, you know, and that he makes us strong as an ox. He anoints our head with oil. There's plenty in scripture about that.
Yes.
And so he's there in our weakness, but there are things we can do to cooperate with him, to add strength where there has in the past been weakness, to add reinforcement where there has been a vulnerability and exposure. And so with that in mind, just that context, give us a picture of what a strong person would look like. Because I love, again, that you always are breaking the mold of the world, the diet culture, the model cover. It's not that. But I mean, I'm talking mind, body, soul, spirit. What would a healthy, strong person, describe them if you would?
Oh, I love that question. Oh, you just handed me a paintbrush. I'm so excited. Oh, man, a strong person is someone who has presence. They are here to say, God, my body is yours as much as my heart, my soul, my mind. And so my body is my ability because I have a body. Even just your vocal cords themselves are muscles that contract so you can say the things that God is saying. Your body, with the longevity organ of your musculoskeletal system, gives you the ability to do the things that God is doing. Every day when we wake up, God has already painted a picture for our life. He already has landscaped the day for us. We get to say, God, here's my heart and my body too. So strength is first the ability to say, I humbly submit to you, God. That takes strength to say, I'm going to go low so that you can raise me up to do the things and say the things and think the things that you've called me to do today. Strength is a person who has an awareness that God is the one in charge. God is the point of the day. And then they have the ability, not only the agency, but the clarity of mind to notice when they are being tempted, because the tempter is there, the accuser, the brethren day and night, does not shut up, they're going to feel tempted throughout the day. They're going to feel like their strength is being challenged. And that's, I talk about this in the body revelation. This is wonderful news, guys. You need tension for your strength to grow. So when you feel opposed by somebody said something or you saw something and you feel doubt and you feel unbelief or you feel anger, there's nothing wrong with your feelings. Notice it, because that feeling is there to then say, oh, there's an enemy present. He's opposing my spirit, right? Galatians 5, the flesh is opposed to the spirit and the spirit's opposed to the flesh. I can now take that moment to say, I'm going to be strengthened here in the Lord. I'm going to hold my ground. I'm going to breathe, like literally, practically, I'm going to take a breath and I'm going to remember with my sound mind, because I have a strong mind, to go, okay, I know who God is. I've been spent time with him this morning. I know who he is. This is not the voice of my father. And then if we oppose that enemy and he doesn't get our hearts, we grow stronger. We advance in the kingdom. We advance the kingdom with our body because we chose not to say, think, or do the thing that we were tempted to do. God promotes that person. And that, to me, that's the strength. You know what? And if that's all going on inside of you, then you will know, huh, probably need to stop eating past 10 p.m. at night, or I need to go to bed a little earlier, because your soul will so want the clarity and the sound mind and the strength of mind and soul and body to say, I know that an opposer is waiting for me. I need to be on my game tomorrow so that I can stand then and resist the enemy and he has to flee.
We got to go to break, but that's so powerful. Nah. And again, we're making the case for when you're in a controlled setting, when you're practicing exercise, walking, strength work, deep breathing, when you're very connected to God in that, where you're going, every breath comes from God, every ounce of my energy and strength comes from God, and you steward it well, you are so much more equipped to then steward the battle, to steward the blessings, to steward the temptations, because you're practicing and engaging with your body. That's really one of the reasons God gave us this body. I believe that anyway. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about flexibility and about balance in the physical realm, but then also what that looks like and how it trains us in the spiritual realm. More with Elisa Keaton in a minute.
As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. Time together as people of faith is so important, and together we can make a positive impact. So Faith Radio is ready to hit the road. Would your community be a good fit for a Faith Radio live event full of encouragement and togetherness that we can spur each other on toward love and good deeds? Nominate your community for a live Faith Radio event at myfaithradio.com, and I hope to get to see you soon.
Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend, fitness professional, best-selling author, Elisa Keaton. We're drawing from her book, The Body Revelation, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. Specifically today, we're talking about how do I finish this year strong so that I march into the next year with vision, with inspiration, with a spring in my step. And you don't default to postures of activation of faith, hope, and love. You default to indulgence. And this is not you. This is saying we, as human beings, default to gravity. We default to despair, discouragement, to numbing our pain. So we want to have the presence of mind, as Elisa says, to keep the presence in mind, because spirit, Lisa, you opened with a scripture from, is it Galatians, if I remember right? Or what
yes, passage Galatians. Was it again? Galatians 3:3.
Yeah, would you recite that one more time again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see. Here we are. having begun by the Spirit, why are you now finishing according to the flesh?
And how many of us finish years, we wrap up our year in the flesh because we want to throw caution to the wind. I've been working so hard. I need a celebration. That part, totally understandable. But in doing so, we numb out and indulge in ways that are to our detriment, and other people pay for that. So what if there was a way to practice the presence of God in such a way that we prepare room for Him, that we enjoy our pumpkin pie with all of our heart, but we're not gorging yes. in ways we don't need to, right? Where we buy gifts, but we don't overspend, and we just yes. practice some restraint. And then in that space and in that place where you feel a temptation, invite the Lord in and say, give me vision, give me revelation. So, Alisa, let's talk a bit about flexibility and balance. Those are two, you know, components of fitness where, you know, when they're assessing somebody's fitness, they will see how flexible they are. And balance is just another one. I know for like elderly, they're always wanting to work on balance, but also for an athlete, if they've blown their knee out or their ankle, they'll have them do exercises to get all those assisting muscles back and into place again. So maybe say a word, pick one or the other, but then speak to both of them as you feel led.
Yeah, well, let's talk about flexibility. Interesting. Interestingly enough, it's actually as we age, it's our flexibility, our loss of range of motion or mobility around a joint that starts to then change more of our skeletal structure. We talked about the muscles that are supposed to be there to help us strengthen and get our posture up upright. But we see as we live under gravity for so long, it starts to happen that we close down a little bit more, but then so do the joints around that body part or that muscle. And if we don't continue to stretch and open, widen ourselves, do the thing that doesn't feel as comfortable to do, because that's often what people say about stretching and flexibility and practicing mobility. They always say, it hurts. Mm-hmm. It hurts to stretch. And they think it's a waste of time because I'd rather be, you know, counting the calories or clocking the calories. Whereas actually mobility is the thing that gives us the proper posture and form so that we can then lay the muscle over it and go out and do, you know, life in the world where we're under gravity. So we do need more mobility. We need flexibility, which requires an opening. And I think I believe the body itself maps the story of God's kingdom, okay. His love, and how he's made mm-hmm. the world and stamped his fingerprint even on us. So yeah, flexibility doesn't mean that you will break. If you don't have enough flexibility in life, you will break. This is how mm-hmm. we pull muscles. Mm-hmm. So to train that into the leaning and the pulling back is so important.
So good. I mean, my son, when he was in high school football, he walked on his toes even as a child, had very tight gastrocs, very tight hamstrings, and had to have serial casting on his feet. And they just said, if you don't stretch him on a regular basis, he's going to have some pretty significant injuries. And we did stretch him and he did do the casting. But even so, if you picture all those tight muscles up his back, when those are tight and they're not moving, he took a blow. Well, because the muscles didn't move, the disc did and blew out a disc. Yep. And as you say, we write this off like it's nothing, but it's another one of those injury preventions. It's relaxing. It really is amazing how much it rids you of aches and pains. And it's such an important thing. And then you look at it in the spirit. Is there a flexibility in our hearts? Are we in so much control and just staying so comfortable that there's no room to flex? And I don't know where the time went. We only have about a minute and a half left. And so we'll have to talk balance next time. But say a word about just being spiritually flexible as we exit this year and enter the next one.
You know, what comes to mind is Romans 4:20 that says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God. This is Abraham. But Abraham mm-hmm. grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that he was able to do it. That's what flexibility means. And you're going to have tension. You're going to have things that come against you. You're going to feel like quitting. Like I'm sure Abraham, well, we know he got ahead of the Lord with Ishmael there, but even still, he was faithful to stay with God. That unwavering faith, it doesn't mean it won't bend and feel like seasons where you want to give in, but Abraham never gave up. And that's what we're supposed to do. You're rooted in something strong. Abraham was rooted in his faith, fully convinced that God was able to do it. So we must stay rooted in God. And as strong as you have roots down, then you can bend. There are things that you can flex and bend. You can You cannot get upset when someone doesn't agree with you. That's something we have to work on in the church, when we make the secondary things the primary things, instead of stay rooted in primary Christ crucified, resurrected, the gospel, the purity of it. But whether someone eats meat or doesn't eat meat, or someone doesn't agree with you or how you vote, or those things, we need to be able to flex and bend with one another, be gracious and kind towards one another, rather than stiff and rigid, because we will break.
Boy, so good. And one last thought about that is, I think this is good to do a few times a year, if not on a regular basis. But what if, as you're exiting this year, put all your time commitments on the table and flex and say, God, are you still blessing this? Are you still asking these of me? Do I need to make space for the thing that I don't even know about? I want to flex with you. It's a gutsy prayer to pray, but I dare you to do it. Alisa, I could talk to you every month. I feel like there's so much in this book that we could just keep diving. So we'll have you back again. But thank you, hon,
for the time. All the time. Anytime. Love you.
We love you. All right. Have a great day. Thank you for tuning in. I can tell by the text that came in, this really hit a place for you, and I'm so glad it did. I want so much to walk with you as we journey through this time together, trusting God, being all in, fully engaged and fully present. He's worth it, and you're worth it. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.